Hello, my name is Allison, and welcome to Heart and Soul Gospel Ministries Kids Program. This hour, we have Let's Read the Bible, Unlock Children's Bible Drama, and Daily Devotional. I hope that we can grow faith in God as we listen to the program together. Now, let's start this week's program. First, it's time for Let's Read the Bible. Let's all open our Bible. Here we go.
Hello everyone, welcome back, and thanks for tuning in. This is Elliot Yee, the host of Let's Read the Bible. And for those who are joining us for the first time, welcome, we're so glad you're here. Today's topic is marriage. A joke I've heard about marriage is that love is a dream. Marriage is an alarm clock. While that may or may not be true, the prospects of marriage in today's world are very much broken in many aspects from what God initially designed marriage for. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, God defined marriage to be a union of a man and a woman, and that they should become one flesh. Furthermore, Jesus quoted this verse in Matthew chapter 19 from verses 4 to 6 and reminded us of the true meaning of marriage. And that reminder is this: sexual relationships are only allowed between a man and a woman who are married. But because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, people have become slaves, chained to their desires, and have had, and still are, in immoral sexual relations. In addition to this, some foreign religions even have sexual intercourse as a part of their religious ceremony. The city of Thessalonica was no exception. The people of the Thessalonian church served the false gods of the region of Macedonia, and they were exposed to immoral sexual relations in their culture. There are even people who had sexual relations with other men's wives, which were, and still is, detestable in the eyes of the Lord. Paul explained to the people of the Thessalonian church, who were living in such an immoral culture, that once they become a children of God, they must separate themselves and leave such sins they committed in the past, and strive to not commit them again. The passage that we will read today, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 from verses 1 to 8, explains what Paul says in detail regarding the topic of sexual immorality. One may think that this topic was only relevant back in Paul's time. However, you'd be quite wrong. We, who live in today's world, are also exposed to immoral sexuality. The world teaches us that it is normal to have sexual relations as long as the people have a strong feeling of love towards each other. Dear listeners, this strong feeling of love one may have when having sexual desires is not love. It is lust and sinful desires, covered up by the excuse of it being love. Such immorality, in a sense of false love, is even permissible to young children. The world and its views do not teach the sanctity of marriage, and neither does it teach the beauty of love between a man and a woman in marriage. Such worldly values are pervasive in our culture, and they can shake our values. It is at this point that we must reflect on God's word and return to Him in prayer and devotion to His word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7 says, "For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. The reason God called you, and I included, is to draw us out of this world and glorify us." Dear listeners, as you remember this point, I pray that we will not be deceived by the world and its sinful views, and keep ourselves holy. Avoid and reject the temptations and cries of the world. Run to your Heavenly Father who stands with wide open arms. Listen to Him who gives us life, rather than the voices that will cause us to be destroyed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, protect us from the temptation and the tribulation of the world, and allow us to become holy in your words. Give us strength to keep that holiness. Guide us, protect us, be with us, and strengthen us to glorify your name. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And now, stay tuned for the reading of God's Word. Today, we have Bennett from California, who will be reading the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, from verses 1 through 8, from the NIRV translation. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you'll have a great week. And join me again next week for more. Until then, God bless.
My name is Bennett. I'm 9 years old and I live in California. Today I'm going to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verses 1 through 8. Let's read the Bible. Now I want to talk about some other matters, brothers and sisters. We taught you how to live in a way that pleases God. In fact, that is how you are living. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask and beg you to do it more and more. You know the directions we gave you. They are given by the authority of the Lord Jesus. God wants you to be made holy. He wants you to stay away from sexual sins. He wants all of you to learn to control your own bodies. You must live in a way that is holy. You must live with honor. Don't desire to commit sexual sins like people who don't know God. None of you should sin against your brother or sister by doing that. You should not take advantage of your brother or sister. The Lord will punish everyone who commits these kinds of sins. We have already told you and warned you about this. That's because God chose us to live pure lives. He wants us to be holy. Suppose someone refuses to accept their teaching. They're not turning their backs on us. They're turning their back on God. The same God gives you His Holy Spirit. This is the Word of God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible. Help us to be holy like you. Help us to trust you in your word. Please protect us from sins and disobedience. Help us love you and live in obedience to you. We want to please you and glorify you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Inside me, and you call me out to pull me in, tell me I can start again. I don't need to keep on hiding, I'm fully known and loved by you. You will not go home, no matter what I do. And it's not one or the other. It's hard truth and ridiculous grace to be known, fully known and loved by you. I'm fully known and loved by you. It's so like you to go pursuing. It's so like me to go astray. Truth, the kind of love that's bulletproof, and I surrender to your kindness. Oh, I'm fully known and loved by you. You won't let go home, no matter what I do. And it's not one or the other, it's hard truth and ridiculous grace to be known, fully known and loved by you. I'm fully known and loved by you. How real, how wide, how rich, how high is your heart? Now I cannot find the reasons why you give me so much. How real, how wide, how rich, how high is your heart? Now I cannot find the reasons why you give me so much. I'm fully known, fully known and loved by you. You won't let go, no, you won't let go, no matter what I do. And it's not one or the other, it's hard truth and ridiculous grace to be known, fully known and loved by you. It's frightening, I'm fully known and loved by you.
Coming up next is a devotional program for teens called Unlocked, provided by Keys for Kids Ministries.
How might it be comforting to know that Jesus is with you as you grieve? Hi there, I'm Emily Tenter, and this is Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. Grief is a beast. Maybe you know exactly what I mean. Maybe you've lost someone close to you, or had to navigate a huge life change, and you're grieving. What does Scripture have to say about grief? Today's devotion was written by Golda Dilema and is called When You Are in Sorrow. I was young when my grandmother passed away. I loved her, and she loved and cherished me. We had good times together. I valued being with her. She accepted me for who I really was. She cared for me. She was the best grandmother to me. When she passed, I was in deep sorrow. I was not prepared for her to go. She became ill, but I never thought it could lead to death. When she was gone, I became like a flower that had lost its fragrance. I missed her very much. Joy had turned to sadness, and I grieved for many days. When someone you love passes away, remember that God did not want to take your joy away. God created everything good, but sin and brokenness came into the world when the first humans chose their will over God's. While it can be easy to blame God or be bitter toward Him when a loved one dies, know that God grieves with us, and He is going to bring about an end to death. Jesus defeated sin and death when He died on the cross and rose again, and He will return one day to raise us from the dead and crush death underneath His feet forever. When you are in sorrow, remember that Jesus promises new life. If we put our trust in Jesus, nothing can separate us from God, the owner of our souls who loves us deeply. Romans 8:38 through 39 tells us that. God's Spirit holds us, even in death. When you are sorrowful, you can cherish the memories and moments you and your loved one had together, and you can thank God for how He has blessed you with the life of this person. When you are sorrowful, come to God, and He will comfort you. Psalm 71, verses 20 through 21 says, "Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once more." So let's talk about this. How might it be comforting to know that Jesus is with you as you grieve? What are some ways you can bring comfort to those who are grieving? Check out Romans 12:15 to answer this question. "Death is a terrible thing, but it is not the end. All of Jesus' followers will be with Him in the happiest, loveliest, and most peaceful place for eternity. He will wipe our tears, and there will be no more suffering," according to Revelation 21, 1-7. How might this truth give you hope? For some more truth today, check out Psalm 34, verse 18, Psalm 73, verse 26, and 2 Corinthians 1, 3-4 to keep God's word alive in your life. Thanks so much for being here for this episode of Unlocked, a production of Keys for Kids Ministries. If you like the cover art we use on each quarterly issue of Unlocked, we have a downloadable image you can snag off of our app. Each quarter we release a verse pick, a featured scripture accompanied with each quarter's Unlocked art, and you can set it to be the background of your phone to keep that reminder always where you can see it. Check it out. And that is it for me. Thanks again for being here. Until next time, I'm Emily, encouraging you to live your life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
Unlocked Part 2, provided by Keys for Kids Ministries.
Have you ever felt like your life wouldn't be complete until something changed or you got something you wanted? Hey there, I'm Andrew Stevens, and you're listening to Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. Our devotion today is one that frankly really resonated with me because it's a situation I found myself in pretty often. It didn't have to do with boots, but it's had to do with many things over the years. This one is called Enjoy a Full Life Today, and it was written by Emily Rondella. I remember when I got sheepskin winter boots in middle school. That might not seem significant, but they weren't just any winter boots. Everybody at school seemed to have them. When you got them, it was like you joined a club. My mom knew how badly I wanted a pair of these boots, and she found a less expensive off-brand version for me. I couldn't wait to wear them. Once I had those boots, it felt like my life could begin again. How often do we want something so badly that we believe our lives are on hold until we have it? When we're so focused on wishing we had something we don't have, we can easily miss what's right in front of us. This causes us to miss opportunities to enjoy what we do have. I wish I'd known back then that my life went on hold without those boots. And my life wasn't made complete when I got them either. I would have been fine even if I never got a pair. God wants us to enjoy a full life today no matter where we're at. It's His gift. In John 10:10, Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full." Notice what Jesus doesn't say. He doesn't say they may have life and have it to the full when they ace their social studies test, or once the person they've been crushing on finally notices them, or when they score the most goals on the soccer team. Instead, Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Period. There's no disclaimer. I believe one of the chief ways the enemy tries to steal, kill, and destroy is through making us believe God is holding out on us. But that's not true. God loved us so much that He gave His Son, Jesus, so that we could have life. Only He can fill our deepest needs and desires. But because our world has been broken by sin, we look to so many other things to fill us. In John 10, Jesus says that He gives fullness of life to His followers in an unexpected way, by laying down His own life for theirs. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and He rose again so that we could enjoy a life-giving relationship with God. To everyone who puts their trust in Jesus, God gives a full life today. So let's talk about this. What are some questions going through your mind right now? Have you ever felt like your life wouldn't be complete until something changed or you got something you wanted? What is one good gift God has given you? Consider taking a moment to thank Him for it. As you and I can read in John 10:10, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I, Jesus, have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Now, I'd encourage you to read in your Bible John chapter 3, verse 16, as well as John chapter 10, 1 through 18, including that verse we just read, and John 17:3 to help keep God's Word alive in your life. Unlocked is a service of Keys for Kids Ministries. How would you like to write for Unlocked just like Emily did for our devotion today? If you're interested, check out our writer's guidelines at unlocked.org. Also, be sure to check back tomorrow because Emily is going to look at some world breakers. But until then, I'm Andrew, encouraging you to live life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
Following is a program, Children's Bible Drama.
Hello everyone, it's John Backus from the Samuel version of Children's Bible Drama. With 4,000 of their soldiers killed, Israel thought they had lost the battle against the Philistines because the Ark of the Covenant was not with them. Therefore, the army of Israel quickly went to Shiloh and made a request to priest Eli and took the Ark of the Covenant to the battle against the Philistines. Priest Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, also went to the battlefield to guard the Ark of the Covenant. When the Ark of the Covenant arrived at the battlefield, the Israelites gained courage and shouted loudly. When the Israel army, who was quiet after losing the battle, started shouting loudly, the Philistine general thought it was strange and immediately sent a spy to find out what was happening.
"General! General!
Did you find out why the Israelite cowards suddenly started shouting loudly?"
"Yes, General, I found out why. They are shouting loudly because the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord entered the Israel camp."
"What? The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord? This is terrible."
"What is an Ark of the Covenant? Why are you so surprised?"
"This is terrible. The Lord is the God of Israel. He got rid of all of Egypt's powerful gods and allowed the Israelites to escape from Egypt. Until now, these Israelites left the Lord and fought with their own strength. But now that they brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, their God will fight against us. If we fight like this, we will lose the battle. Listen, all soldiers!"
"Yes! Yes.
Israel has called upon their God. Just because we won against them a few days ago, we cannot take them lightly or we'll lose. Be strong, Philistines. Be men, or you will be subject to the Israelites, as they have been to you. Be men and fight, and we will surely win."
The Philistines were a bit frightened, but they fought hard so they wouldn't lose. When the Philistines began to attack, the Israelites placed the Ark of the Covenant before them and fought the Philistines.
"Everyone attack!"
The Israelites fought the battle, thinking they would win because the Ark of the Covenant was with them. The Philistines didn't want to lose, so they fought with all their might. What was the result? The Israelites misunderstood something. The Ark of the Covenant itself didn't have power. Only when they revere and love God who gave the covenant, and only when they obey God's word contained in the Ark of the Covenant, will God fight for Israel. They can't expect God to fight for them when they don't obey God's word and live however they want. That day's battle ended in a great victory for the Philistines. The Israelite soldiers were fleeing, and eventually they lost 30,000 men. Furthermore, the Philistine army took the Ark of the Covenant that they had brought and placed their faith in. The Philistines also killed Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, who were guarding the Ark of the Covenant. When the Ark of the Covenant was taken, the Israelites thought it meant that God's presence was no longer with Israel. This came as a great shock to them. One of the soldiers ran to Shiloh to tell Priest Eli the shocking truth.
"Priest Eli! Priest Eli!"
Priest Eli was sitting on a chair when the soldier arrived in Shiloh. He was 98 years old, and he couldn't see well. Also, he couldn't move his body, since he was so fat from eating so much. It was as if he couldn't see because he was spiritually blind, and he couldn't move his body because he didn't do God's work.
"Who is it?"
"Priest Eli, something terrible happened."
"Explain what happened. How did the battle go?"
"Priest Eli, Israel suffered a great loss against the Philistines. 30,000 soldiers died, and the Philistines killed your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, who were guarding the Ark of the Covenant, and took the Ark of the Covenant away."
"What?"
When Priest Eli heard that the Ark of the Covenant was taken during the battle, he fell backwards on the chair. He broke his neck in the fall and died. I'll see you next time from the Samuel version of Children's Bible Drama.
Sacred witness bear in this glad hour. Thou Did you know there are 2.2 billion kids all around the world? Each one of them needs to hear about Jesus, don't you think? You can introduce the Heart and Soul app to your friends so they can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and accept Him as their Savior.
Following is a program daily devotional provided by Keys for Kids Ministries. Every week we listen to Monday through Friday's daily devotionals. I hope you can listen to one devotional a day during the week. Now it's time for Monday's daily devotional.
Grandma has a lot of different bird feeders because not all birds like the same thing. Some don't even like seeds.
Every bird is different, just like people are different. That's important to know when sharing the gospel. Hi, and welcome to a brand new week of stories and scriptures right here at Keys for Kids. My name is Zach. Like snowflakes, no two people are exactly the same. Not only do we look different from each other, we have different interests too. That's important to know when it comes to sharing your faith with a friend. For example, if you have a buddy that's into sports, you might talk about how the Bible is like a playbook. Or if your friend is into painting, you could mention how God is like a great artist. It's like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:22, I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. Now for our story, it's entitled Feeding the Birds. Grandma, why do you have so many different kinds of bird feeders? Kenneth asked as he and his grandmother filled the bird feeders in her yard. Wouldn't one be enough? Well, Ken, if every bird were the same, one kind of bird feeder would be enough. But God, in His wisdom and creativity, made all kinds of birds for us to enjoy, and He created them with different needs and preferences. Finches, for instance, usually like to perch on bags filled with black thistle seed. Bluebirds like to feed from trays or dishes, and hummingbirds like the sweet sugar nectar we fill their feeders with. "Wow," said Kenneth, "that's really cool." He went to his school library the next day to check out some books on birds. Later that week, Kenneth and his grandmother discussed the pastor's sermon on their way home from church. What did he mean when he said we need to tailor the gospel to meet our neighbor's needs? Kenneth asked. Well, remember when we were filling the bird feeders and talked about each bird's needs? Asked Grandma. Sharing the gospel with our friends is a lot like feeding birds. You can't just throw out one kind of seed and assume that's what all of them can eat. Just like you need to learn how God created each bird and what they like to eat, you have to listen and learn what's important to your friends, such as what they like to do or what their fears and hurts are. Are all your friends the same? No, Ken said. Some do sports and some like band or theater. Some have divorced parents or someone in their family is really sick and in the hospital. Exactly, said Grandma. You can share the good news of Jesus, which never changes, by taking an interest in the things your friends like or where they are hurting. Remember how Jesus often taught in parables? He shared God's truth through stories about farmers, housewives, and shepherds because that was what people knew. I get it, said Kenneth. Tomorrow I'm going to tell my friend who's feeling lonely that Jesus wants to be his friend forever. Good for you, Ken. Now, let's go fill some bird feeders. Well, what about you? How can you share the gospel with your friends? Even though the good news of Jesus never changes, the way you share it might. Do you have a friend who likes sports? Tell them Jesus is the best coach they could ever have. Or do you know someone who's going through a hard time? Let them know Jesus cares simply by listening to them and pointing them to the hope He offers. When you know what people need, you can share Jesus in a way that speaks to them. Our key verse is found in the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 22.
I become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, I might save some.
And our key thought today, spread the good news. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
This is the time for Tuesday's Daily Devotional.
I love our new baby goats. But when they get scared, their legs stiffen up and they fall over, like they're fainting.
Sometimes when I get really worried, I feel the exact same way. Hi, and welcome to Keys for Kids. My name is Zach, and I'm super glad you're listening. You might not believe this, but when I was younger, I was afraid of speaking in front of people. If I had to do show and tell or pray in front of my Sunday school class, I would get super nervous and kind of freeze up. Do you get afraid sometimes? Maybe you're nervous in front of kids at school or worried about being the new kid at church. Just remember this, even if you're scared, God gives you the strength to overcome your fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 is a great reminder. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Our story today is entitled, Fainting Goats. Kayla watched as her dad herded two baby goats into the family's goat pen. They looked so cute as they started eagerly exploring their surroundings, curious about all the other goats in the pen. "Can I go in and pet them, Dad?" asked Kayla. "Sure," Dad said. "Just be careful not to startle them. These goats are sometimes called fainting goats because..." Before Dad could finish his explanation, their dog Buster bounded into the yard and started barking excitedly at the new arrivals. Immediately, the baby goats stiffened their legs and fell over. "Oh no," exclaimed Kayla. "I think something's wrong with the baby goats." "They're fine," Dad reassured her as he calmed down Buster. "I was just going to say that these are called fainting goats because when they get startled, their legs stiffen and they tumble over. They don't really faint. They actually have a medical condition that causes their muscles to stay tense longer than usual when they get scared. And that's why they fall." Kayla hurried into the pen to check on the babies. Soon they were relaxed and were back on their feet roaming around the pen as usual. Kayla started feeding them grain pellets from her hand. "I know exactly how they feel. I felt like fainting when I had to give my speech in front of the whole class last week. I was so scared." Dad smiled. "I know you were extremely nervous, but you didn't let fear paralyze you." "I asked God to help me," said Kayla. "When it was time to give my speech, I took a deep breath and said a quick prayer. I felt more confident walking up front because I knew God was with me." There are a lot of verses in the Bible reminding us not to be afraid because God is with us, Dad said. It's okay to feel nervous and scared sometimes, but we don't want to let that stop us from doing what we need to do. Jesus promises to always be with us, so we never have to face any situation alone. We can have the courage because he is with us even when we feel scared. Kayla grinned. "I'll remember that the next time I feel like a fainting goat." So what about you? Have you ever felt so afraid about a situation that you thought you couldn't go through with it? Maybe it was giving a speech or taking a test or going to a new school or going to the doctor. God promises to be with us through every hard time. So when you feel overwhelmed, remember that he's given you his spirit who's always with you. Trust him for help and encourage when you feel afraid. Our key verse is found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7.
"For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind."
And our key thought today, trust God when you're afraid. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
Here is Wednesday's daily devotional.
Naori used to pick berries with us until her parents got divorced. She's going through a really hard time.
Sounds like Naori needs a good friend. A good friend like you. It's a great day here at Keys for Kids, and I hope that you're doing well. As always, I'm Zach. Thanks for listening. My grandpa used to say, God gave us two ears and only one mouth for a reason, because we're supposed to listen twice as much as we talk. If you know someone who's going through a hard time, God can help comfort them through you, and all you have to do is listen. Being a good listener means doing your best to see their challenge from their viewpoint, not interrupting them and not judging them either. Like it says in 1 Kings 3:9, "Give to your servant an understanding heart." Now, let's listen to our story. It's entitled, A Different Viewpoint. "Look there behind you, Mom," said Evie as she and her mother picked raspberries. "Down low, there are some berries you missed." "Oh, I see them," said Mom. "They're nice ones." She bent to pick the berries. "There are more in the bush behind those," Evie told her. Mom looked toward the berries Eve was pointing to, but she shook her head. "No, those aren't ripe enough yet. But I see some hiding in the center of the bush you just finished." Evie laughed as she turned to pick the berries Mom saw. "I guess we should pick each other's bushes." After a moment, she said, "Remember when Naori and her mom used to come and pick raspberries with us?" "Yes," Mom sighed. "How is Naori doing since her parents got divorced?" Evie frowned. "Not too good. She's always whining and saying she'd rather live with her mom than with her dad. I can't see why. After all, this way she'll still be in the same house and the same school, and her friends are all here." "I guess it depends on your viewpoint," Mom replied. "It's like these berries. We miss some ripe ones and think others are ready when they're not. It depends on what direction you see them from. We need to remember that people see things in life in different ways, too." Evie nodded slowly. "I guess so." "You see Naori's problems from a distance," Mom said. "From your viewpoint, there are good reasons for her to live with her dad. But don't forget that she can see things you can't see. From her viewpoint, being without her mom may outweigh other things. I'm sure Naori misses her a lot." "Yeah, I think she does," Evie replied. "Naori used to say she could tell her mom anything." "I think she needs understanding more than she needs criticism," Mom said. "Perhaps Jesus can use you to help her through this. He understands exactly what she's going through, and he'll help you be a good friend and show her his love and compassion." Evie nodded thoughtfully. "I'll try to see the situation more from her viewpoint. Maybe..." "Oops," she pointed to a bush Mom had finished. "You missed some more, Mom," she said with a grin. How about you? Do you get annoyed when your friends talk about their troubles? Do you feel like things aren't as bad as they make them out to be? Remember that you're seeing their situation from a different viewpoint. Even if you don't understand everything they're going through, Jesus does, and he'll help you be kind and understanding like he is. Trust him to help you show compassion and offer encouragement to friends who are struggling. Our key verse is found in the Old Testament book of 1 Kings, chapter 3, verse 9.
"Give to your servant an understanding heart."
And our key thought for the day, be kind and understanding.
Hey, Zach, how did God create the world?
Well, God created the world and everything else simply by speaking it into existence. God created the earth just like it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 9. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let dry ground appear," and it was so. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
Coming up next is Thursday's Daily Devotional.
"My brother said he'd give me his quarter if I could pry it from his hand, but he was too strong."
Hey, that's kind of like how safe Christians are in God's hand. Guess what? You're listening to Keys for Kids, and my name is Zach. Thanks for joining me today. One time, I put a $10 bill in my big box of Legos because I wanted to keep it safe. And you know what happened? It was so safe that I forgot about it. I didn't find that money again for like 2 or 3 years. If you're in God's family, he wants to keep you safe too, and he doesn't need Legos to do it. In John 10:29, Jesus talks about Christians when he says, "No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Our story today is called A Strong Hand. "Want this quarter, Madison? You can have it if you can get it." Madison's older brother, Tobias, held out his hand, palm up, with a quarter in it. Madison hesitated, knowing how her big brother loved to tease, but Tobias just stood smiling at her. She walked slowly toward him. When she was close, she made a sudden quick lunge for his hand, but just as quickly, Tobias's fist closed over the quarter, and the battle was on. There was a lot of laughing and squealing as Madison tried to open Tobias's fist. "I got two fingers up," she panted in glee. "I'm gonna get it." But a moment later, Tobias's fingers were down again. The quarter was as secure as ever. "Okay, you two," their mom said at last. "I don't think you're going to get that quarter, Madison. And Tobias, you shouldn't be teasing your sister." "Teasing her?" Tobias slapped his forehead in mock display. "I'm not teasing her. I'm just teaching her an important lesson like any good brother would do." "Oh, yeah?" said Madison. "What lesson would that be?" "Well, you know the verse we talked about in church last week? The one about nobody being able to snatch us out of God's hand?" Tobias grinned. "I just gave you a demonstration of what a safe place a hand can be." "Hey, not bad," said Mom. "Tobias is a lot stronger than you are, Madison, and God is much stronger than anybody or anything. You couldn't force Tobias's hand open, although there are lots of people who could. But nobody, not even Satan, is strong enough to open God's hand." She smiled at Tobias. "That was a great illustration of how those who belong to Jesus are safe and secure in God's hand." Tobias grinned at his sister. "And to show you what a good brother I am, here." He started to toss the quarter to Madison, but stopped. "No, wait a minute. Giving you the quarter would ruin my illustration of how safe you are in God's hand, because Jesus won't ever give you away." He paused. "But..." He took a bill from his pocket. "Here's a dollar instead." "All right," said Madison. "That's even better." "So how about you? Aren't you glad God holds his children securely? You may get discouraged about things that happen, but Jesus loves you and holds on to you. He won't ever let you go. You are his. When you do something wrong or go through hard times, Satan may tell you God doesn't love you anymore. But that's not true. God does love you, and if you know Jesus as your Savior, you're his forever. He'll always keep you safe in his hand." Our key verse today is John 10:29.
"My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand."
And our key thought for today, God holds you securely. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
Next is Friday's Daily Devotional.
"Some kids call me Johnny Hurricane because I'm always breaking something on accident. I've just got bad luck."
"You don't have bad luck. You just need to be careful and have the right foundation." And welcome to Keys for Kids. I'm so glad you're listening. As always, my name is Zach. Do you believe in luck, that random chance decides whether good things or bad things happen? When sin came into the world, it did mean bad things started to happen, but there's always a reason. God created the world, and he's the one in control, not good luck or bad luck. When you trust Jesus with your life, you're saying that he's more powerful than any kind of luck and that he will take care of you. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "No one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ." Our story today is entitled Johnny Hurricane. "Crash! Sorry," Johnny said. "Smash! Splash! Oops, sorry again." Amanda grinned at her mom. "Sounds like Johnny's home." "I'm okay," Johnny said when Mom and Amanda found him standing in a watery mess. "I broke two flower vases." As the three of them cleaned up the mess, Johnny said, "At school, the kids call me Johnny Hurricane. Something always tips over or gets broken when I'm around. I'm telling you, I've got bad luck. It follows me everywhere." "There's no such thing as bad luck," Amanda said. Johnny wrung water from a towel. "I think you're wrong. At school, we learned about the Leaning Tower of Pisa. It was built to be a cathedral bell tower. They had great builders, but the tower started leaning after it was finished. Johnny shrugged. See? Bad luck. It's not bad luck that it leans, Mom said. There's a reason. When they built the tower, the foundation was laid on soft, marshy ground, which couldn't support all that weight. So it leans. The builders should have known, but they were in too much of a hurry to build it. Oh, Johnny said. So it wasn't bad luck? It was the foundation? Mom filled the dustpan with broken glass. Exactly right. Sometimes bad things happen or go wrong when we aren't careful. But instead of calling it bad luck, we need to do what those builders failed to do and look at our foundation. How do we do that? Asked Johnny. We need to remember who our foundation is, Jesus. He died and rose again to save us from the worst thing that could ever happen, being separated from God forever because of our sin. And he's in control of everything. Even when he allows bad things to happen, things much worse than breaking a vase, we have hope because our lives are built on him, not luck. Johnny smiled. So no more blaming things on bad luck. He grabbed the broom. And I've decided to be more careful and slow down. I'm starting tomorrow. As he spun around to run the broom back to the closet, the broom handle bumped the lamp. Amanda caught it just before it toppled off the table. Hey, Johnny Hurricane, Mom gave him a hug. How about you start right now? So how about you? When things go wrong, do you blame it on bad luck? Luck, good or bad, is not a good foundation to build your life on. Let Jesus be your foundation. He has control over everything that happens, and he died for your sins so you could have eternal life with him. Because we're imperfect people who live in a broken world, bad things still happen, but you can stand firm in the hope of Jesus. Our key verse today is 1 Corinthians 3:11.
For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ.
And our key thought today, Jesus is in control. Well, I'm Zach. Thanks for listening to Keys for Kids.
We believe in one true God, Father, Spirit, Son. One church, one faith, one Lord of all, his kingdom. Thank you.
you have fun listening to our program today? I hope that this was a time for you to become a lot closer to Jesus. Don't forget to talk to your parents about the story you heard today on Daily Devotional. I'm sure your family will have a great time talking about it together. I hope that you read the Bible often to learn more about Jesus' techniques, pray to Jesus, and praise Jesus often throughout this whole week. Until then, see you next week. Bye-bye!